gigs will always give you a good feature. It's like dreaming up 30, dreaming up 30, music with a quick extension. Like, and then Skepta and like your fucking boy Slow Guy. But it's like, it's sometimes it comes off, sometimes it comes off like they're chewing on her tongue.
Out the wazoo.
Ain't nothing like a good night out.
But I wore hearing aids when I was a baby.
How old are you?
Not a baby. I'm just saying.
Case closed.
But I'm just saying. Stop. When it comes to the ear industry, Donnie takes the cake.
Okay.
But
the
I
ear
have
industry.
But I have third place.
Here at Ear Industries, we like to advance the science. I feel you, but I just think that being from where we're from, we also speak just like ingrates, you know? We don't have a whole lot of vocal intelligence. When we speak, we sound stupid.
Yeah.
It's like partially Philly, but also like dumber.
I feel
and
like
I
if I
had all kind of have it.
Voice like, acting gig, I would be typecasted and would only have one role for maybe two movies, and that's that one dude at a pizza parlor. Hey yo, let me get some pepperoni pizza.
They roll you in a fucking animated series, and you're the one character that just says one word.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey yo,
I'm just fucking. I'm the McLovin of voice acting, just stuck. Let's get that guy that sounds like he's almost deaf, but not deaf.
Right.
Hey, dude, you got a speech impediment? Nah, I just sound this way.
I'm just fucking
You're hired. All right, well, we were recording, so I'm not going to blank that out. But welcome to Out the Wazoo.
I don't want to make fun of my cousin.
Welcome to Out the Wazoo.
Or say on the air.
And we're still blanking.
Blank
we're
that
still
out,
still blanking.
It's episode 132.
Episode 132 of Out the Wazoo, fucking best hip-hop podcast in the world.
Fuck me, dude.
Motherfucking trio back in the studio this week.
That's right.
In the stew.
We got a big episode.
A somber episode.
A somber episode. There's a lot to be sad for.
Don't get it confused with the... Okay, never mind.
But we're not going to bring it down yet. Don't get it confused with what?
No.
You're not going to finish your sentence? Come on, bro. You can't blue balls everybody like that.
I was going to... You know, if I say it now, you're just going to go, I, and it's just going to get fucking rolled over.
Nah, come on. Let's do a vibe check right now.
It's an anti-vibe check.
Please, Ryan, when you walked through the door, you had an anti-vibe vibe.
Yeah, you did.
Well, it was raining out. I gotta match the energy of the environment, baby.
What, are you a fucking hermit?
No, baby. You know. I
know?
I had an anti vibe.
You walked in. Alex said, "Hey, yo!" You said, "Hmm." You sounded
like a
Minecraft villager when you walked in.
No, I didn't. No, I said, "Hmm." I said, "Hey, yo!"
But now, was it because like that stiff breeze put you back a step when you were trying to grab the door?
No, baby. It just took the breath away.
He did just call you Braby.
I'll take it.
Dope.
I'll take it.
Braby,
I
like
Brazy
that.
Baby.
A Brazy baby.
I'll take it.
Braby.
But I just want to make sure we're all on the same page right now.
Yeah,
Is your vibe immaculate?
I think our vibe is good.
Who's our?
You and me, because we hit that clap.
Right. That was a good dap, dude.
That was nice.
Our hands are like built for each other, huh?
No, not really. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Jesus.
But me and Alex, you know, it's just, it's getting there.
There's certain people, though, in this world that you are just destined to have a nice dap with.
Yeah.
There's three people that I know I have a nice dap with, and you're not one of them.
Yeah.
But we also have a fire handshake, though.
It is a fire handshake.
And it's been our handshake for years, too.
Someone who I do have a really classic fucking dap with, always, never fails, Dylan.
Dylan. I was going to say Dylan always... Surprisingly, David Roletter, and then you know my boy Joey Santamaro.
Joey Campagnoli.
Always with the solid dabs. And sometimes Johnny Szczynski, but he lives in Florida now, so I don't count him as a friend.
True.
I'm just kidding. He's
last
that's
names
the motherfucker that ate an Italian sub that sat in a car for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
It's still good.
I'll still eat it. And the fucking mayonnaise is like curdling, bubbling.
I think my headphones are up a little too much. I kind of redlined.
Hey, Ryan, turn him down a little bit. It's Out the Wazoo. It's episode 132. Sad episode. Sad time right now. Young Dolph was just murdered in Memphis, Tennessee.
Was the original headline shot and critically injured, or was it
shot
always fatally killed? Fatally injured.
He was dead at the scene.
Okay. Because the first one I saw was just shot. There was no other further because it was just fresh. And then I just saw that he is actually now passed away.
He is deceased.
The which is a damn shame.
The article Jake sent, it just said shot and killed. I didn't read too much into it. I didn't want to know how he died because I feel like it was like for something so stupid.
It was, dude. It was just petty violence. But,
you know, it's like, and that, I think we all brought that up before. It was like, especially in Memphis, but like even in like Philly and probably Atlanta, probably all over, you know, but it's like the social media of like just promoting what you got online and just tempting people.
Can I read
to come
what I
you.
Have for this?
Yeah, hit us up, Bobby.
So Young Dolph, a star in the indie rap and a cousin of the late artist Juice WRLD, was shot and killed Wednesday in his hometown of Memphis. Multiple law enforcement sources confirmed to his death. He was 36 years old. The rapper's real name was Adolph Robert Thornton Jr.
Hold on, roll back. His name was Adolph. Sorry, you said Adolph. I just wanted to make sure. I know.
Hitler,
I don't want to gas him
Hitler
up.
Shave him.
But
Hitler did wear
I don't want to gas him down.
Was buying cookies at it's hard to
Makita's or something like that.
Makita's butter cookies at 1 p.m. Wednesday when a gunman drove up and shot him through the window. The quote unquote, the tragic shooting death of a rapper, Young Dolph, serves as another reminder of the pain and violent crimes brings with it. Memphis Mayor Jim Strickland tweeted, "My thoughts and prayers go out to his family." And then it just pretty much goes on to say how many Instagram followers he had, albums that charted the billboards, just to kind of bring light to how influential and popular he was. And then his backstory about him being born where he was, being raised where he was. So
you mentioned that he was he's a prolific independent artist. Yes. Young Dolph is probably, when you think about independent hip hop,
made his name,
was probably one of the most successful independent hip hop artists. He did a podcast. You ever listen to $1 Million Worth of Game?
Yeah.
It's a Barstool podcast. Times,
but I never listened to the one with him on it.
Young Dolph came on and he spoke about turning down a $22 million deal with a record label.
What, to make his own?
In order to keep his masters.
Just so he doesn't.
You ever hear about that? Like artists say, I want to keep my masters.
Chance the Rapper.
I think T-Pain did that.
The Rapper.
Anybody who did hip hop like in the 90s up until probably like 2010-ish era, keeping your masters was something that was not like a well-known way to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of the reason why Jay-Z has as much money as he does, is because he has licensing to his masters.
Right.
So Young Dolph had wanted to keep his masters at all costs. Right. So they offered him $22 million for like a 4-album deal over like 5 years or 6 years or something like that. And he turned it down because he knew. His reasoning was dope. He was like, I went to the table and they offered me $22 million for 4 albums in 5 years. That was the first deal they gave me. So immediately I knew by the end of this deal, I was going to be worth 5 times that.
Right.
And I wasn't going to get paid a cent more than 22 mil. Mm-hmm. So I fucking told him 200 mil. Or whatever.
They're
going to
own his music and all that stuff.
Maybe it wasn't 200, but I think he said he upped it to like 80 mil was his counteroffer. He's like, I want $80 million and I'll do 4 albums for you.
Right.
And they said no. So he walked and continued to be independent. That man had money, like self-made money.
Yeah. I think when we reviewed his previous album,
Paper
Route Illuminati.
The Big Meechy Grape.
Don't even get me started on
Big Moochie. Sorry. apologies, Mr. Mooch.
That's when we really talked about him, not like just getting in the rap game just to make money, but like also to like support where he grew up in.
Bring his own up with him.
Yeah.
The Young Thug of Memphis.
Just the fact that that was like kind of his whole mantra was like bringing up his community and like putting his money back into his actual crowd and his family and his friends. You have rappers like they say they do that, but do you actually know if they're doing that? You don't know.
What's better? So somebody like Young Dolph, I also think of IDK.
Mm.
They both preach financial literacy. Like, they're taking their platform and using it to teach kids in underprivileged minority neighborhoods how to be financially literate, like how to make a savings account, how to use a credit card, what's credit, that kind of shit. Is that more valuable, or is it more valuable to be like Kodak Black and just hand out Kodak Black sweatshirts at Thanksgiving?
Well, that's a tough one to say because Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You know what he did? He gave wigs to female cancer victims.
Pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm gonna make you choose, though.
But you're not teaching them anything, you know? Like, the cancer patients have to realize, like, not everything is given to them, right? So, like, probably Young Dolph, you know? You gotta teach lessons on the line.
That was a really hot take.
Super hot.
That was a steaming hot take.
These cancer patients need to know.
Right. Not everything is gonna be good.
Sorry,
to them.
You're already downing your luck, but you've no give outs and handouts.
You need to understand something here.
Right.
This is not a charity.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know.
Oh, and you stand by it.
Oh, I stand by it. I stand by it.
No, I was fucking around, okay? I think that they're both good.
Oh, no, but I'm 100% though.
Well, no, I think that you're already so deep is that you're not going to dig yourself out. You're just going to double down.
Yeah, you're right. There's no way I could ever get back out of that.
You're doubling down.
No.
Because the hole is 6 feet and I'm only 4'5".
Right.
Now, but I agree.
Hot
like,
take.
Young Dolph and IDK and other rappers, they were like mentoring kids, not just about being in hip hop and like gang shit and doing shit that was like above the law to get your money in order to survive. It was like how to survive in the right way
and thrive
right, and like with financially, like it's important to have your money saved. It's not important to like fucking spend your money on Air Jordans and rob the place with a McLaren and then leave the scene. And then post it on Instagram.
Talking about Pusha T.
Memphis.
Talking about Pusha T.
Talk about poo.
This is fucked up, but relevant. I think it was Bill Burr had a joke in his last stand-up special where he said, white people, you got to start using lotion. You know, he's like, I get all itchy in the winter because I'm all dried out.
Right.
And I'd itch myself and like white paper would come off my skin because I'm so pasty. And he's like, now he's married to a black woman who told him like, you need to put lotion on.
Bill
and
Burr's married to a black woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They've been married for a while.
And he goes like, this is crazy to me because this is just something that if I had known, if you guys had shared this information,
right,
I would have known. I wouldn't have been itchy my whole life. And he's like, white people using lotion, you know, we just missed it.
Right.
Sort of like how black people missed opening a savings account.
Right.
And that was his joke, was like, we didn't share that with them, and they didn't share with us to like fucking moisturize.
Right.
Big difference there the severity of what the issue is. But it's true, bro. Like a lot of people like don't even know that you can have a savings account and have credit and build that shit.
Nobody's
to leverage it.
Well, in all fairness,
exactly. No one's teaching.
In all
them.
Fairness, we purposely probably didn't teach black people
Not
how to open
we,
a savings
but at a certain back, you know,
we
stage
as,
along
we
history.
We as in the older white community when they were fucking racist and segregated. They honestly just wanted them to perish.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that
Hot
was.
Hot take now, the cut over here with the
I'm,
fucking
well,
lasagna.
You know,
he wanted them to perish.
This is a somber episode. This is 132. Yeah.
What fucking temperature setting was your oven on when you put the lasagna
Listen, as
in,
soon as
bro?
I saw it raining outside, I said, oh, damn, I'm about to say some crazy
and
shit.
It's demon time.
Yeah. Is it a full moon?
It really is demon time. No, it's about to be the partial lunar eclipse.
And shut up. That's talking about moons.
Oh,
we're in this
how boring.
Studio, baby. So what else you got on their news?
Oh, I wanted to play a couple of Dolph tracks.
Oh, okay.
Let's just bang the top couple real quick.
Case closed.
Just give people like a taste of what Dolph was about.
I like Ashtray.
Let's listen to Case Closed first because it's his number two most popular.
Fuck. Do I have scoliosis now?
I think.
Let the band play.
On the floor, now my jewelry box froze. Fuck a bowl, fuck a stove. Counted millions in a cold. Bad bitch, booted swole.
Booty swole.
Bank roll,
bro.
Fold, that's a no.
No.
Headshot, case closed. Down with the bros. Put that
one of the harder songs.
And it's a damn shame too. I'm gonna speak for you because this isn't me. A couple episodes back, Jake and I were like, dude, it's fucking fire.
Right.
Young Dolph and Key Glock are definitely the hottest thing that's happening right now.
Right.
And it's going to become the hottest thing. And you were like, I'm not blowing your back. I'm just saying, you were like, nah, I don't think so. I don't really fuck with them too much. And then literally like 2 days ago, you were like, bro, I take back what I said.
Right.
And Young Dolph is definitely fire and I'm on the train.
I think that you killed him, dog.
You think I killed him?
With your vibes.
Damn. Well, you know, so here's the thing, right? So, like, when you sent that article, was it, like, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning?
What, when he died, got killed? He died yesterday, the 17th of November.
When you sent that article, I don't know.
1 p.m., though. Right, yeah.
Was it 1 p.m.?
I thought it was this morning.
No,
it was
yesterday afternoon.
Whenever you sent it, I just got done listening to the, like, a Young Dolph Key Glock song. I can't remember what it was.
The same album with the yellow on it?
Paper Rat Illuminati.
Okay, so the one we...
It wasn't Case Closed. It was Paper Rat Illuminati. I can't remember which song it was, though. But I, like, just got...
Ashtray?
No, because I know what Ashtray sounds like. Okay. If I heard
the
song...
What was the song that you wanted me to play?
Ashtray.
Okay.
But I was playing this other song, and, like, the song was done. I was like, damn, that song does slap.
Bing bong.
And then you sent me the article, and I was like...
Fuck.
Didn't mean to blow your back out.
Let me just
out.
Play that song again.
Now I can finally appreciate it.
Yeah, logging off Ryan Baqueta.
Okay, so like, you know, our D&D session was like sort of relevant because I did have Young Dolph as one of the 1 through 20 picks to kill the artist in order to appreciate the music, but it ended up being Benny the Butcher.
That would have been... Or no, it was Conway. We killed all three of them. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Go listen to that episode.
Well, you strangled Benny, but he killed the other two.
Yeah.
I jumped off.
Westside Gunn hit me in the head with his mallet.
Yeah, he picked my up rubber mallet. His rubber mallet. Man.
Why did you bring a mallet to the Met Gala, dude?
Hey, Bray.
I still don't know why
Brady,
you did that.
I'm just saying. It's a hard life out here, and I don't have a license to kill. I got a license to ill. So
a
I
license
can only
to
bring,
bonk.
Yeah.
I was listening to Ashley.
I'm a Looney Tunes shit.
Just that. Oh, sexy.
Jetson made another one.
I do it so effortless. I pull that walk up and don't even have to measure it.
Walk.
His favorite rapper and your boyfriend, I'd be fresher than killing them niggas. I made a lot of money with my Mexicans.
Why are you laughing?
Because the fucking ad-libs are awesome. They're hilarious.
No, I was laughing because he said kill them N-words. And I laughed because he got killed.
That's not why you laugh. But
that is why I laugh. Because it's ironic.
It is not a double down anymore. It's now a triple down. He is.
I told you the vibe was weird. I didn't think it was going to be violent.
No. This isn't violent.
Your vibe is violent.
I didn't physically do anything to Key Glock or Young Dolph.
Okay.
But metaphysically.
So what happens?
Perhaps.
What happens with the way he carried himself for the younger rappers in Memphis and who takes over or keeps the train rolling?
That's something I'm probably going to be worried about is the fact like some people are going to want to take his place and then people are just going to be like, nah, you don't deserve it.
Well, it's kind of like how when ASAP Yams passed away, Rocky kind of embodied that role for the rest of the Augie and Mob gang. So he kind of took on that father figure role, so to speak. It's not really an actual father figure, but model themselves after. So who now does that? Because as we've just said, he is the guy that makes people look up to him. He's a dude they can reach out to. He's given knowledge to people.
So let's think of all the rappers currently in Memphis, right? We got Key Glock. Okay. We have Pooh Shiesty. We do have Duke Deuce. Now, he is, I'd say, a good runner-up.
Strong contender.
My money would have to be on Key Glock.
Are there more?
Moneybag Yo.
Okay.
Black Youngsta.
I never heard of him.
He's not as big. Out of Memphis, Juicy J is still from Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Memphis.
But he's not that.
He doesn't rep Memphis like the other guys.
Nah, but he was close with Dolph. I think the closest thing to Dolph is Key Glock.
Yeah, saying Juicy J is almost like saying if this happened to Travis Scott and saying Bones and Thugs would come out and be like, yeah, they're
Bones
done.
And Thugs and Harmony.
Now, yeah. But Pooh's still in jail, right?
I don't think he's in there yet, but he's. I'm not sure if they made a decision on that case. We didn't really update it. But last we heard, he was facing 6 months to a life in prison.
Jesus, what a fucking...
I thought that they said that he did plead guilty.
He did.
And that helped him with lowering his sentence, but...
Yeah. Probably still 3 years, though. So we won't see any Pooh... We're going to be getting them telephone Pooh Shiesty verses.
I can't wait.
I think Memphis right now, I think Moneybagg Yo is going to carry it on his back for a while. Mm-hmm. He had the number one album for... A decent portion of this year,
yeah, but
with
for
the
his own
pain.
Reasoning, though,
huh?
Not for his own reasoning, though. This isn't him. You think he's gonna embody the?
I don't know if he's gonna take that role of like educating and outreach, but he's got the platform.
He's already chasing, or maybe chasing the bag, so to speak.
Oh yeah,
so,
dude. Well, he's signed to Yo Gotti. Yo Gotti is from
Memphis.
You think he's gonna pump the brakes too? Yeah.
He's going to try and make
that's
money.
That's backtracking.
Every day he's going to try and make money. But it is what it is, bro. It's a business at the end of the day. Mm. And you might never get anybody like Key Glock again. I'm sorry. Like Young Dolph again.
Damn.
Blow my back out. I just think that he's not a big name like Juice WRLD or Pop Smoke.
Who? Young Dolph.
Young Dolph. Mm. And I just, for whatever reason, bro, like it is, it's like, a little extra sad how sudden it happened.
Yeah.
And how little coverage it got.
Yeah, it did kind of get brushed under the rug. Like, you sent the article. I went on Reddit and I didn't see much else about it. Like, I don't even think I seen the article that you sent while I was on Reddit. You know, it was just kind of like a one and done.
You had to search for it to find it.
Just like I had to search for DaBaby's album EP that just came out.
We'll get to that.
Fire.
We'll get to that.
Is there any more news that you have, Alex?
Oh, this was the segment. Okay. So speaking of somber people and somber things.
I hate these transitions.
Okay, okay.
So speaking of dolphins.
No, I'm just saying, speaking of somber, here's a somber person for you who
is
now
three
in a rap industry.
One
rest in peace. Young Dolph.
Yes, rest in peace.
Clippers forward Kawhi Leonard drops his rap album, Culture Jam.
Not going to listen.
Not going to listen
Kawhi
at all.
Kawhi Leonard?
You know who he is?
I know who Kawhi Leonard is.
Do you know his personality?
No.
Doesn't
I know he
really...
I know he's... No, he goes... Yeah. He's the one Chris D'Elia makes fun of. He's like...
doesn't really speak. Doesn't really like... He's a very socially awkward person, so you watch him in interviews.
But he's a baller, dude.
Absolute stud. But he just like, kind of like, I don't know what to do with my hands kind of guy.
Right.
And he just wants to ball. Like, right. He doesn't really interview well. And if he goes to games, he's up in the back. You
would
know
you
I mean?
Would you want to be a baller like that, but also be socially awkward?
Kawhi Leonard.
I would like to be a silent killer, honestly. So, yeah. I think it would be a lot cooler to be a silent killer. Because, like, oh, here comes Kawhi. Fuck. Like, the dude who doesn't say shit. Like, there's a famous video. Like the 2012 Heat versus Spurs final, and I think it's like whatever 3-2 series, and Miami has the ball, and LeBron's going up to the free throw versus two extra points, and then Kawhi Leonard checks in. He just looks over, and Kawhi's like a second year player at the time. He just looks over and goes, fuck. Because he knows that this guy is good, and he's going to bring the heat, and he's going to lock him down. So, yeah, I think I would like to be a silent killer like that, but I don't know if I'd be a rapper. Because, like, if you heard him speak, I don't know how well he will transition into music. He also was in the Way Too Sexy video with Drake and Future, and he kind of was just standing there.
And his that
awkwardly
was
Millie rocking.
That was
so,
dude, he's got the biggest hands, dude.
His hands are
the
huge.
The fucking El Nino wind changed when he Millie rocked.
Have you seen, so they have like a hand cut out on like basketballs? Like,
oh, I saw this shit.
Of like,
and Durant,
Shaq,
did it.
Durant, yeah. Kawhi, LeBron, and I shit you not, Kawhi's hands roll over on both sides, thumb to middle finger, like three quarters
more
of
than,
the fucking
ball. More than 50%
it
of the
looks
ball.
Like a, how Ryan, like, or I would hold a regular, like, arcade basketball.
No. It's like how I hold a golf ball.
Okay, exactly.
It's like
comparison.
That.
But
I'll put the ball
Culture Jam
in the hoop.
Drops.
Let me play. Can I play this? It's a sure, Culture Jam ahead. Announcement video.
When you come across your first love,
that's it.
That is the day you never forget. The thing you're supposed to do.
That was not What's us. That? That was
the
not
thing
us.
You're good at. Or the thing you love.
He's gonna tease music in this?
Being awake all night. Thinking about it. The first time you're in your element.
Who mixed this?
Okay, so
across what every taking out what in a song.
Wow, way to do an announcement and have
so Leonard's goal with his rap album is to celebrate basketball and hip hop together. He also wants to give back to his undeserved communities. Some of the proceeds from the first song he released in May, titled Everything Different, featuring Youngboy, Never Broke Again, and Rod Wave, went to Mamba and Mamacita Sports Foundation, which honors Kobe and Gianna Bryant.
Listen to this list of features.
He's got fucking
on Kawhi's shit.
Yeah.
What's the feature?
What were you going to say?
He's got like a platform for it.
Yeah,
I just don't know how good it's going to be.
Bro, Lil Uzi Vert, NBA Youngboy, A Boogie with the Hoodie,
okay.
Polo G.
Oh, yeah. When you're a guy like him, you're going to get features.
Rod Wave's sister, Gunna, Ty Dolla $ign.
The Thicky?
And finally, Moon Boy.
Rod Wave is the one that looks like Grimace had a baby with Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. No, his in sister. My intro.
No, yeah, that's what I meant. His sister is the one that looks like fucking Grimace had a baby with fucking Jabba the Hutt. And fucking Moon Boy, dude. Man, Moon Boy.
What's Moon Boy's name again?
I don't
Young Blue.
Know.
Young Blue.
Young Blue. Right. Yeah.
Moon Boy.
So the album dropped.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to Waves. It's got 7 million plays. It's got Gunna and Polo G on it.
Okay.
Everything for it.
Is Kawhi's name Culture Jam?
Kawhi.
Kawhi.
It's not bad.
Well, of course, his first album's going to be Gunna. Dude's up his ass.
That's not Kawhi.
That's no. Gunna.
I know. I didn't say it was Kawhi.
Wait. That's Gunna, yeah. That's not Kawhi. Kawhi.
You
God damn it.
You would know if it's Kawhi. Every move I make, I
get out the porch. I want to hear.
I don't know who that is.
It's definitely contract
killers lay you down
4 feet. Block a bow, rest in peace. He get found in the streets.
They get wild with they got buys in New York. What if he's just not on the album and he just brought it? It's like DJ Khaled,
right?
In the background, he's just like
DJ Kawhi.
Kawhi.
I'm gonna say Kawhi from now on, dude.
Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard.
Fuck.
We the best.
Hey, man, if he wants to get into music and it's good, fucking who's stopping him, you know?
If it's going to charity, I'm all about it. If it's not going to charity, throw it away.
Yeah, keep it.
Let's listen to that new Polo G song that came out.
Ooh.
Okay.
Back out.
We'll come back to you.
Got him.
You know, maybe. The new one, it's called Bad Man, Smooth Criminal. Bro, this song.
Oh, that song I've heard this. Dude, yeah.
This shit rocks.
Smooth Criminal, Mike Jack.
Yes. And Polo goes G on it, bro.
Sir Capola.
Smooth Criminal, Mike Jack.
The arms, just the tiny swing.
You got the T-Rex jive on it right now.
I could see like mad
it's
TikTok
T-Rex,
videos
it's
with that
T-Rex
song.
It's a T-Rex eating a fucking corn on the cob.
Just so tiny, dude. He's playing Wii Sports, bro. He's just so tiny motions.
Shit, dude.
What else you got? Anything?
Okay, so many hip-hop concerts were already praying for more insurance. The tragedy of Travis Scott's hometown festival could make that worse. So will Astroworld worsen the rap against hip-hop concerts? So this article is pretty much saying... How's
it going to affect?
How will this tragedy affect future concerts, especially hip hop?
Yeah, we said last episode that Astroworld Fest changed music festivals forever. I mean,
yeah,
there's been so many videos this week of like Lil Uzi. There was a video of Lil Uzi at maybe it was Day in Vegas or something, and the people in the crowd are like, "Stop the show! Stop!"
Yeah.
And
Denzel
Lil Uzi's like, "What do you want me
Vegas
to do?"
Too.
You know, because it's like now. You fucking know, and this isn't to discredit what happened at Astroworld Fest or what happens to anybody. You just know this shit is going to start popping up left and right. And people are going to be, now they're going to go, oh, wait, like, if I get hurt, if I get hurt at this, I can sue.
Yeah. It took a tragedy to make people self-aware of their own surroundings.
There was also, people will just crawl out of the gutter to get money now. Yeah. Like, you're just going to see it on every fucking show.
So, Tech N9ne raps about this specific incident at his show. The song is called Riot Maker. And somebody...
I already know what it sounds like.
Somebody tried
about
to...
skill, it's about power.
No, sorry. Fuck that shit, dude. Somebody got like a concussion at his fest, like concert, right? He was the main headline, but his set was not even on yet. This woman got a concussion and sued him for $100,000. And it never went through because it was like, wasn't even fucking on set.
As it should.
So you're a dumb bitch. But the fact that it like went to court and everything was like crazy. And I totally agree. I feel like people are going to take advantage of this exact incident, which is terrible.
They always do, man.
And yeah, it's just so like, sad. I mean, you could fucking stub your toe and be like, well,
I broke my foot.
Someone stepped on my foot.
This is something that I wasn't planning on happening, but so it happened. And
what it'll come down to is like how these lawsuits against Travis Scott, which, by the way, updated count, 11 people dead.
Yeah. I was going to
over $2 billion in damages filed against Travis Scott, Drake, Live Nation, Apple
Music,
just for streaming the shit. They're getting pulled in.
Yeah.
This is where you know, bro, people are reaching.
Yeah.
People online are still brigading to destroy Travis Scott.
Yeah.
And it just will never, it won't stop, man.
Which is crazy because, like, he had one of the most prolific followings. And now it's everybody's jumping.
Tainted.
Everybody's jumping on the issue at hand.
It's a tainted
but
future.
It is, very sad. The most recent death was like a 9-year-old kid who was fucking trampled. Again, I think this comes down to what was the first thing that went wrong was the parent bringing that kid to the concert.
Thank you. Everyone fucked up, bro. Yeah. It wasn't Travis.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
He's not stomping
everyone
babies.
Everyone fucked
on,
up, bro.
Dude, you know what's crazy? At work, people are now, everybody's starting to have opinions about everything. But at work, people are like,
goddamn opinions.
People are like, yeah, well, you know, his stage was like an upside down cross.
I want to make a point to that. So I was at a party this past Saturday, and I got into a conversation with a few people who started going off on the tangent saying that it was a satanic ritual. He's sick. And like, I can't believe there are people allowing this stuff. And I just really, I said something simple. I just butted in and I was like, do you really think Travis Scott went to his own concert with the intentions going like, oh yeah, people are going to die tonight. I'm going to make sure people die tonight. That's what I want. More than anything is to have all these lawsuits and allegations and everybody blaming me for people dying at his show. You think anybody in their right mind goes into a show thinking, I want to take people's lives tonight.
Especially
and
now.
And then they're like, no, I didn't really think of it like that. I was like, yeah. So like, stop looking at the fire and whatever he wanted. Because people, some people just, that's just their MO to make their... whatever their stage look dark because maybe that's their vibe they're going
for. Upside down cross
is
not like crazy.
Do you think he's going, oh yeah, I'm going to sacrifice innocent people who paid money for my show for higher power for me? It's like, dude, how much fire he's under right now? You really think he, like, come on now.
Especially now with people being aware of cancer culture, or not cancer culture.
That'd be an episode title back in the good old days of Wazoo.
Cancer culture. Cancel culture. Just that, like, if you know the amount of pressure that can put on any artist,
exactly,
why would you ever want to risk any of that?
Right.
Right. And it's like,
what's the point?
Like, you want to fucking
gain?
You want lawsuits at
what
you?
What do you gain from that?
Nothing. You don't
now,
gain
it. Your new music streams are going down
because
no one wants to listen to you. Like, that. It's probably not going to happen, but it's a potential demise of a career. So you really think you want that? Like, you think Travis Scott's going, like, hey, I might lose a lot of credibility here.
I think Travis's career is definitely tainted for the rest of his life.
But I'm just saying, the point being is he's not going into that actively going like, I can't wait to ruin the rest of my career.
No,
so
but
like people,
but shit just does happen. And unfortunately his name
he's
is on
the
headline
butt end of this.
He's the face.
His festival.
Right.
You know,
he's the face. Name the face of one other person that we're blaming besides Drake. Right. Nobody. The it's the only person that everybody can look at this entire tragedy and say, there he is.
Live Nation. Live Nation, but that's the underseller. That's under the blanket.
No one's mentioning Live Nation. Only like, it's literally being omitted from news stories.
Yes. Because people think, oh, well, who hired Live Nation? Travis Scott. Travis Scott's at fault.
It's not like that. And to your point, to both of your points, I forget if we said this last episode, but Travis Scott's on stage. Everyone's like, he had to have seen that there were dead people.
He had to have seen shit happening. Week, yeah.
Bro, in what universe bright does lights, anybody see? I don't care. I'm going to say, lasers, assume he fog. Saw a body. In what universe does any artist see something like that happening and be like, let's keep going? Like, fucking, this is good for my career. Right. Let's keep going. Let's fucking play Goosebumps. Like, that's not at all how any person would handle themselves. And the fact that people online are just like, Travis is a dickhead. He loves the chaos. He thought it was cool that people were dying at his concert. It's like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. That's somebody who has never ever gone to a concert.
No, dude, they're keyboard warriors, bro. Right, the dude listens to the Gorillaz, the old albums of the Gorillaz, and then he says, he's, know real music.
Right.
That's that guy.
It's a shame, man. And it's like, it's just one big fucking storm.
I think he's tainted. I think you're right. But I also think as these lawsuits play out, you're going to see less and less blame shifted onto Travis and more onto the organizers and, dare I say it, the Houston Police Department, who fucking dropped the ball there too.
Just as bad.
But, and the security, the people who organize security, you're going to see a lot of the shift, the blame and the money get paid out of their insurance.
Right.
It's going to come out of city fucking coffers for the police department. It's going to come out of taxpayers' dollars to pay for that shit. And you're going to notice, and people are going to, they're going to evolve with the verdicts. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, I guess it kind of does make more sense that, like, it's not all Travis's fault.
Right.
And then they're going to realize that, like, when this shit comes out, and there will be a court case, and we'll see videos of Travis at the fucking stand.
I bet you there'll be a documentary. There'll be a documentary on this.
But you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Straight up.
But the point being, though, is now this is also affecting other rap shows and even rock shows. Like, didn't really list off people in particular, but it's saying even non-affiliated genres are now feeling the heat because they can't even have a show now without someone. I need space. Or even if that isn't happening, what could happen to their shows in the future? Now there's
someone
gonna be a
tried
whole bunch
to make
of
the comparison of like what happened at Astrofest this year and Woodstock back in like whatever 60s, 70s, whatever it was. It was like
it was
hundreds of thousands of people at Woodstock, and they were like eight, maybe like six people died.
And it wasn't even supposed to happen.
And then you go, and then you're like, okay, you had more than 50,000 because you had people rushing in, and you had 11 people die. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
there were eight people dead at Woodstock 99.
Eight. And but like Woodstock security was like impeccable, you know, like nobody. I mean, but back then you didn't have that rage mentality and like that rage, like
it's a bunch of free spirited kids like in a hippie area. Hippie era,
but like
just
you can't make that
kind of
you can't make that comparison.
No, dude, you can't make any comparison.
Right.
And it's a shame, and I don't want to get like
and there was
too
no
edgy.
Barricades. I mean, it was just like I don't even know what Woodstock was. It was like
just
an open
field.
It was a field. At Astroworld, you had places purposely sectioned off because not everything was a stage.
It was poorly designed.
It was poorly designed, and I think security, the Houston Police Department, and definitely the because Travis wasn't the first one to try and like be notified that there was shit going on.
No, dude.
Security was calling
it mass casualty.
Right.
When Drake went on.
Right.
And you think that Travis heard mass casualty in his earphones and was like, straight up. Yes, Lord. Wait, that's Anderson .Paak. Anyway, we'll find out. I mean, we'll see as this shit rolls on what actually happens. So we'll see. Can we listen to Utopia or not? We'll find out. Let's do an ad break.
Okay.
Boys.
Ad break.
Got pee.
tiny desk. That's like where you do your homework, right? All right, we're back. I just started recording. We're back after that ad break. Thanks for listening to that ad.
Ad break.
You know, support the podcast.
Support. That's all we're asking.
Back on my baby Jesus shit again. What a name.
You heard it, boys and girls.
This is the baby's newest release.
And I think the baby's name is fitting to him because isn't he like 5'5"?
He is, yeah.
He's a small guy, dude. Small guy. Him and 42 like a pit bull. Could go on each other's shoulders and wear a trench coat.
The baby Doug.
I mean, if I was standing next to both of them and I lied, look like a giant. I lied on my shit and I was like, yeah, I'm 6 foot. They'd believe me, dude. They would believe me.
Little 42 Doug would say,
the baby goes, I needed some shit with some
all right, so the baby, fresh off of literally all gay people hating his guts and then forgiving him, comes out with an EP, Back on My Baby Jesus Shit Again. Again, dude. When was the first time?
I don't know. I hate it when they like make these weird
titles.
Yeah, the name's
a little out there because it's like,
Back on My Baby Jesus Bullshit Again.
Do we have
it's
anything
like,
to base it off of? Like, what are we talking about here? Again? You did this before?
Also, baby Jesus, you know? Like, we're out here just claiming that we're the Messiah now. And that's, like, cool. I guess it's kind of always been cool.
Six-song EP, 12 minutes, 12 seconds. It's a brisk walk in the park, if you will.
It's an EP.
Yeah.
It's an extended play. All right? And I just taught you that. You didn't know that.
Extended play?
Yeah. LP?
Environmental Perel.
Limited play.
Longevity.
Like, I don't know actually.
Play.
I don't actually know what LP stands for, but it's an EP, like you said, six songs. A couple of them are hitting charts. They're doing well on Instagram Reels and TikTok. People are dancing to them.
The other couple are hitting farts.
DaBaby is back in the news too, like with controversy with his baby mama. Have you seen this?
No.
He was
is his
making
baby mama
a video.
A boy? Is he gay?
Huh? The Gaby? No,
the
baby was on Instagram Live, and he was discussing, I guess, some sort of issue that happened with him, his daughter, and his baby mama.
Right.
Da baby mama. And she comes into the stream.
That was good.
She comes into the stream while he's recording and just is like talking mad shit, being right. Like, you kicked us out. You kicked your daughter out of the house.
Right.
And the baby, you'll see online, he was chewing gum for like an hour, dude. Yeah. So everyone was making fun of how he was chewing his gum. Just sits there and takes it, and he's like, "I ain't trying to play this game with you right now, Shaw." Like,
did he
see
say,
how she treats me?
Did
see
he
what this
say
is
on
about?
Instagram Live? Goes, "I put diamonds all of my teeth, so they probably think I ain't intelligent."
Oh, dude! He basically just calls this lady crazy and like kicks her out of his house. And then there's this whole thing where she's on Instagram Live, like, "Pray for me and my baby." Like, the baby's an asshole.
Anything to get.
And we're all like, "We know, you know, like we know he's an asshole." But he comes out with this EP, Back on My Baby Shit, Baby Jesus Shit Again.
That chain is ridiculous, dude.
What do you like about this album?
I liked it all. I think it was definitely, like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. But for what the baby has given the fans, you like that?
really?
So when he said,
reaching, dude.
So when Blame It On Baby dropped, back in 2020, every song was an extension of the song previous. Like, the production was just a blended mess of bullshit.
Right.
But this EP, it was an easy distinction that every song had a different sound. And every flow was also different. And I kind of like that. Like, how we always say, a very one-dimensional dude, like, doesn't really try. I thought he tried pretty hard on this. And I thought the production was pretty out there for him, like the Sticked Up song with 21 Savage. It's definitely something I'm not used to hearing. Draws was definitely a song I'm used to hearing from him.
Yeah,
but you could tell the difference in song breaks. Like, I knew when I was walking.
You think he's like trying to do something different?
Yeah, because I think that's the heat he was getting. Like, my fiance's friend, her new fiance, was a huge DaBaby fan. And then he just got off the train because he said, it's the same shit. He's not trying. Every song, like that Blame It On Baby, was the same fucking song.
It's just
song.
A piano, a recorder, and 808s.
It pretty much was like...
And Jetson made another
yeah, he said
one.
He was a sellout. He's like, he just didn't fucking try. He just regurgitated the same bullshit. So I thought that was a pretty good stab for your next try at music, was like, let me try and change it up. Because I think that's a lot of the heat he was getting, was like, hey, dude, you're not trying hard. And you were like... And when Shug and all that stuff came out, when like his first album, that was hot. That was like, oh, this guy's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then he slowly realized he's a great feature artist. And then he's like, I can't wait for his new shit. And then Bop came out. That was hot. The video was
that
hot.
Bop.
That whole album was hot.
Bop was
and
a
vibes
bop.
And all that stuff. And
Kirk
like, okay,
was so good.
Kirk. And then Blame It On Baby came. It was like, fuck, man. Here we are.
It's but like, what
I'm
did you
like, I'm starting to like an artist. And then it's starting to not.
There was a couple gems on Blame It On Baby.
But I'm just saying, like, this was a nice change up.
Sure.
So what are your so what are your favorite songs off the EP?
Draws, even though it was only a minute and a half. Roof and Sticked Up.
Sticked Up.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was pretty good.
I'm going to just agree with one point you made. I think that he sounded a little different in some parts of the EP. And in those parts, I liked DaBaby again because I think he's stale. He's put out like six other songs this year and it's all the same song.
Yeah, it's
the
same.
It's all the same song, you know.
But I did say something to you downstairs. I think it's also hard because he is such a, I know I'm kind of going back when I say he's kind of a, he's a very one-dimensional rapper. He doesn't have many flows, but he tries. Not saying he doesn't try, like he's not sitting out here switching it up. But he's such a strong pronunciation of how he says things that it's hard for him to like say a word that has many syllables in it and then make it fast. So like I made that point in that Pop Smoke remix. He goes, I pulled up with a freaky hoe and I sipped on some new Pinot Grigio. He says every word as it sounds. So it's so when he starts rapping fast, you're like, oh, he's just jumbling himself right now. He's like biting his tongue. So it's kind of hard to listen to him
with them big ass teeth
rap fast and be like, oh, this guy is just like, it sounds like he's choking on his words. You know what I mean?
So Five for a Dub, the second song on this was my favorite track on the EP was Five for a Dub just because I like the upbeat tone of it. And then there's a part where he starts rapping where he like, and I say this about a lot of people, but 42 Doug is one that comes to mind when they start like losing their shit in the middle of a bar and they get like passionate. I love that.
But
so Five for a Dub when he hits this one bar. Also, just like a
like
happy
this beat.
Too.
Very DaBaby beat for sure.
Sounds like a Phantom beat that we would rap to. So I'm going to fast forward and try to find that bar real quick.
She pocket pill, the pussy in trouble today. Come here. Ain't gonna be no more welfare for me. You can keep letting the government pay. No, I can't see not that nigga playing with me. If they do, hope they're ready to play. Yes, sir. Let me take that. Let me get a shot too. Okay, I'm ready for bae. Niggas white t-shirts at a birthday party.
Let's see.
Scared of the cake. Bitch and his bitch mine. Yeah. Right said here. It off and kept it humble. They must have forgot how to fuck baby coming. I'm ready to shit on these little niggas this time.
Like just right there felt like
passion.
It wasn't the
new.
Same.
It felt new.
It wasn't the same like flat.
Right.
Flat DaBaby delivery. He kind of brand like broke out a little bit, like went through the glass ceiling of what DaBaby sounds like and kind of started, you started to hear like he cared a little bit and then he went back down. So like, I like that vary the voice, but that was kind of the only highlight like on the album for me. Like Kodak Black should quit rapping.
I think it's the same thing.
Roof was a good song in like, in a single sense, I thought. The 21 Savage verse was nice. And Draws was a fun song, but, you know, nothing new.
Yeah.
What'd you think, dog?
Personally, I did not like this album at all, or EP at all.
Redeeming qualities.
Well, you didn't let me finish. I just started talking about...
Is this cancer culture?
No, I'm just saying, okay? The only thing I really did like about this was what you said on For Five of the Dub. When it comes to his voice, he keeps it very, like, mono. And it's just flat the whole way. And he's never like going up high, like using his high voice or like using like some sort of low voice, whatever, anything. He doesn't mess with his voice at all. And that part of the song I noticed and I liked and I thought it was different. I thought it was fresh. But other than that, I feel like the stuff that he's rapping about, the beats, just the overall energy that I'm getting from this EP is just like the same old shit. And I stick by my guns when I say I feel like he's better on features than he does making albums and EPs. I just, like, there was no clear, you know, topic about what this was dropped for.
It's the same DaBaby since he started.
Right. And
I mean, he's Baby Jesus listen, shit.
The Baby is a good artist.
Yeah.
When he was first dropping stuff, it was fresh. Nobody was really doing what he was doing at the time.
But he's stale.
And he's stale.
Yeah.
Now,
can I tell you something real quick?
What?
Suge was a song that made him big.
Right.
If you go back, he has a lot of music before Suge.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same, dude.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Suge popped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always sounded like this.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been different.
Right.
So there you go.
And, and that's good that like he found his little nook, but it wasn't going to last.
No, it was like it helped him explode.
Right.
And then he needed to switch it up.
Right.
I thought it was real promising when he was on Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Yeah.
That was dope.
He was on a couple songs, wasn't he?
Just the one. Under the Sun.
Under the Sun.
Such a good verse.
That was with Loot too.
Yeah. Loot and then J. Cole. So like they went bonkers on that song.
They went dummy on that.
Here we have, like you said, 6 songs of the same old DaBaby.
Like I was thinking like how Travis did this. Like he dropped a couple songs. Was trying to catch like some sort of wave from the crowd. He dropped this. Nobody gave a fuck.
DaBaby?
Yeah, when he dropped this EP, like you said, hip hop heads on Reddit didn't even bother to review it.
No, they didn't.
And it's because I feel like it's the same old shit. Now, my favorite song actually wasn't 5 for a Dub. It was Sticked Up because of 21 Savage's verse. I did like that. Kodak Black is absolutely garbage.
He needs to quit.
But Sticked Up had a really good beat.
It's a dope beat. It's a Drake
but
beat.
Other than that, I really didn't enjoy any of this.
Blicked Up.
What the fuck does Blicked Up mean?
Blicked Up.
What does it mean?
Sticked Up.
What does it mean?
Blicked Up.
What does it mean?
Sticked Up, dude. He just says it 20 times. And then 21 Savage says
21.
He says like 21. Flicked up or something like that. But 21's verse was fire. I like 21.
So since I'm on my review, I'll just go right into what I think about the lyrics and the production and overall.
Drop a 5 for a Dub.
Beats, I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
No, I'm sorry. I'm.
You threw your hand up.
I got something.
You slapped your knee.
I got something on my Facebook Messenger that's just pissing me off.
Facebook Messenger. Are you my dad?
No, but I'm selling something on Facebook Marketplace.
What's
okay,
that?
Okay, well, I'm still in my review.
You asked me a question.
Right, because I thought it pertained to what I said.
And I said it didn't. You still wanted to hear it.
Dude,
so
I bet
you.
Are you trying to sell those carpet squares on Facebook Marketplace?
I would. I could never do that to somebody, bro.
I could see you like messaging them and be like, so like, what are you thinking? Like right, 20 right. bucks for all of it?
Do you want all the asbestos?
You got to come get it? Sorry, Ryan. Sorry to interrupt, dog.
So 4.5 on the beats.
Yeah.
A couple redeeming things. Not a lot. They all kind of sound the same. Watered down DaBaby beats. He didn't experiment. It just sounded like he told Jetsam to just make another one. And he did.
There wasn't a single Jetson tag on this EP.
No, I know. But like that's the joke.
But though. Jetson did make another one.
Lyrically, I think even worse. I feel like he's just not rapping about shit that's good anymore. Like when he came out, he blew up because he was so like outlandish. And like you said, like he's very articulate with saying every syllable in the word. And it's cool. Like in Sticked Up, he like got ahead of the beat and was kind of trying to change it. But like it still just didn't sound good. Like it sounds like he's trying to veer off in a way because he knows he's getting stale, but he's not doing like something that's, you know, he's proficient in.
He's like milking his style.
Kind of.
He's
just
like pushing
it
to the limit. Until he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Like Travis, for example, I keep bringing it back to Travis because this makes so many points. Like he has his own style.
Yeah.
But he's been constantly changing it over the years. And if you look at his past albums, you can see how much he's progressed with his beats, with his fucking ad-libs. I mean, everything. And you can see the maturity in his music.
Right.
Especially with the 2 new songs that he came out with a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. Escape Plan and Mafia. This just sounded like some plain old bullshit. So overall, I'm just going to give this a 4.
Yeah.
And that's my opinion.
What did you give the EP? The lyrics? I forget.
Lyrics.
I don't think you actually rated the lyrics.
No, I think I did.
You said 4 or 5 for production.
Just
give it a 4 for lyrics.
In my motherfucking pocket.
I'll go next.
Yeah.
I was kind of right on where you were. I think that the production was the better part of the album over the lyrics. Dude, lyrics, bro. I don't mean to blow your back out, but I'm trying to be more variable in the beat, in the way we grade things. Because the last episode we talked about how Kai 45, why would you, or Boslin, why would you ever not give them like a 10, bro? Like everything, right. they're doing so good compared to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, gotta zoom in. And now you're looking at them in the frame of everybody else that we've reviewed and all the other music that comes out, not regular people. This is a 2 for lyrics for me. This is a 2. And I've never given below a 4, but this is a 2 for lyrics.
I want to know what you rated PP Cocaine's lyrics.
I think it was like a 6.
Well, at least she was rapping about being a fucking cum dumpster. I mean, you understood what she was talking about.
There was a theme, you know? It was a concept album.
I want you to fuck me to sleep.
I thought production was a little bit better, though.
6-4, Mega 11.
It's a 2 on lyrics. Noises. It's a 2 on lyrics. Production, though, I thought was a little bit better, but nothing new. I like that sticked up beat. I even like the beat on the Kodak Black song. Just Kodak is so trash that like it just made me want to fucking vomit, dude.
He needs to just go back to just making the same old Transportin' song.
Just keep remixing Transportin'. Like just do Patty Cake and
fucking Transportin' all the time.
Transportin' 6 featuring NLE Choppa.
Featuring Pop Smoke and Young Dolph.
Production on this is going to be a 5.
Oh God!
Overall, it's a 3.5 for me, dog.
Oh my God! Alex? Just give it a 5 for me because it's just nothing fucking new.
You just said it.
Listen, hold on. It's nothing new.
He said he liked it.
I did, but it's not like I'm fiending for it. It's different. So I'm gonna give the lyrics a 5. It's still the baby. I think he switched his flow up a little better. I think it was different. Saying like he's trying to try now. He's trying to try. He's not in that same category where he's just a stale dude, not doing anything new. I can definitely hear like the passion he had in Five to Club.
Right? 5 on a dub.
5 on a 5 dub, 4, sorry.
5 in the club. That won't that get you anywhere.
But
what can this give me?
Yeah, so I just think I could see where he's trying to go off into, but he starts and then he just goes back down again. And then he starts and then he just goes back down again. So he's very trying to be more than one dimensional, but he's still that one dimensional DaBaby.
He's like Paper Mario.
So,
you know, you can only play Mario so many 5 times.
On the lyrics. Strong metaphor.
I do like the production. I think it's a lot different than a Jetson made another one. It's definitely, there's a big switch up from song to song to song. You're getting variety. Now, it's not the best variety, but it's better than what I'm used to hearing for him. I'm not basing this on a scale for other people. I'm saying for DaBaby, this is a different variety of production, which made it a more tolerable listen to make it more enjoyable. It wasn't like, here's another fucking song, skip. So overall, from the 5 and the 6, I'm going to give this album a 5.5.
I want to clarify, just because I rated this like a piece of shit, it's different from whether or not I liked it. Like, I can still listen to the songs and like bob my head and shit. And still rate this shit trash.
Yeah, it's just like when someone goes, how do you like that artist? They're garbage. It's like, I'm not sitting here going, oh my God, they're the most metaphorically profound people ever. It's just, I liked it. It tickled my fancy, all right?
Sometimes it just sounds good, but if you think about it in the grand scheme of like the artistry, it blows cock.
Yeah, right. Patty Cake, Kodak Black talks about having stains in his drawers. Like, that is so garbage, but that song slaps dicks, dude.
Right. Right. Shit.
fuck.
Now let's, scared I got stains in my drawers. Like, you're garbage, bro.
Let's skip over all this bullshit and this whack rap.
Well, that baby
this
Jesus
one-dimensional
bullshit.
Paper Mario type shit.
He said papy.
The Paper Mario type shit. No Kodak Blacks, no 42 Dougs. We're talking about real artistry. We're talking about high quality. Baby, we're talking about the evolution of the game here. We're talking about the future. We're talking about the stepping stone. We're talking
about
the cosmology of the universe.
We're talking about women's rights.
We're talking about the dopest hair you've ever seen on a human being,
hands
down.
We're talking about the dashiki that makes you go Rafiki.
We're talking about London. We're talking about Nigeria. We're talking about Little Sims.
Right. The one and the only.
The one who we've been silently banging with. Actually, not silently. We've been vocally banging with since the beginning of 2021.
I've been physically banging with Lil Sims.
You've been physically
banging with Lil
Sims?
To be honest, I've been grabbing up on that chi, baby. I ain't letting it go.
No wonder your phone's so dirty.
I ain't letting it go.
So Lil Sims dropped, I might be introvert, her fourth studio album, okay, same day as Certified Lover Boy.
Same day.
And I said, that was going to make it flop.
Thank you for clarifying.
You said it was going to shoot it into the stratosphere and everybody was going to be all over her.
Correct.
Now, I don't know who was more right.
Why do you say that?
Because it's popular, but it's not like as popular as it absolutely should be.
Well, I mean, Certified Lover Boy definitely hit fucking charts for like 4 or 5 weeks.
Five weeks. Stupid money.
Now,
dude.
My logic was, okay, yes, Certified Lover Boy is going to take 90% of that fucking cake. I would say 99% of that cake and just hold on to it.
It's good cake.
But Lil Sims, because she dropped the same day, I think it was smart because, like, think of it this way, right? If everybody else is threatened by Drake and does not want to drop and they change the fucking dates to drop next week or the 2 weeks from now, nobody else is going to drop with Drake. And then that Friday, it's all about Drake, right? I think she did something smart and kept her shit together and kept it dropping that Friday. Because now all the other competition is flooded out, and now it's just Drake, and then it's Little Sims. So when you're looking at whatever's dropped on that Friday, you have to see that album. You're going to say, sure. Wow, this person dropped.
I see
who,
what you're
who
saying.
Who is this? This
she
person dropped.
Stood her ground.
Right. And I think maybe that was her intention, maybe not. But they had to have known. They have to know who Drake is.
I mean, they probably have word that Drake is going to maybe drop something. But you got to also realize Little Sims is from England.
Right.
She's not in the same sphere as Drake. She's so much less famous than Drake. Yeah. Right. So much less rich than Drake.
And she calls her light switch a flicky flicky dingy wonga.
And Drake's not going to be calling her.
Right.
Saying like, haha, yo, Certified Lover Boy coming this Friday. Right. You know, he's not going to do that. So she has no idea, I think. I think on her side, she has no clue Certified Lover Boy's dropping. When you hear Certified Lover Boy's coming and you had that date picked,
right.
Do you shit your pants?
No.
Not really.
No?
No,
you just stand your ground?
I would stay my ground.
If I'm not Kanye or any of those people, I'm not fucking shitting my pants. It's like, what are your expectations? To take off? Like, your expectations are, I'm going to drop my music for my fans, and then hopefully I get some fucking ground underneath this album, and it takes off a little more, but I'm not expecting to top charts here.
I like that.
I'm expecting to be an underdog.
I like that.
So if I'm an underdog, and people go, wow, this is Lil Sims, because I didn't know. I listened to it, and I fucked with it heavy. I was like, this is actually really, really good. It's very, very smart and elegant, this album. So right. I was like, yeah, so she's going into this just with the same mentality. It's like, I'm dropping what I'm dropping because I'm giving it to my fans. That's who she cares about the most. And then if she gets a little extra off the scrapes, then that's all she could ever hope for is more than what she bargained for.
Now, this album, 19 songs, pushing the limits of a lot of content in these songs. But this album I thought was so fucking clean and well done. You don't realize that even with like the interludes, you don't realize that the songs just play right into each other, and it's just such a powerful album that she put out. And such a sleeper artist, too. Like, such talent. And it's crazy that she, I mean, if you can look at the views on Spotify for her album when it dropped, what was the most viewed or listened to song?
So the number one is Woman.
Woman.
The second song on the album has got almost 10 million plays. After that, it hits 5 million on Introvert. Great right. song. And then Look, Point and Kill is at 4.5 million. And then after that, she's got at least a million on every other song.
Okay. And she's only got two features.
But this is, you know, fuck that. Fuck the numbers.
Right.
The numbers don't matter because to me, like, this is above popularity.
Like, it's always been like that.
This isn't about that.
For what when we it comes like, to it's Little always Sims. Been like that.
I just feel like it's different.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely like, you know, you look at all the women rappers in the game just talking about how wet their pussies are. I don't think you ever hear Little Sims talk about her pussy, which
she
makes
tops
me respect
the chart
her.
Of fucking respectable like lyrics and
right.
not falling in the category of just
right. She
it's almost insulting to even bring it up.
Yeah, like I kind of felt really crass saying it.
Yeah,
I didn't mind talking about, you know, Megan Thee Stallion's wet ass.
You know
pussy,
what you're getting,
but.
You know, I do know what I'm getting.
You know, Lil Sims.
That hot chicken.
Lil Sims, she's an angel. I don't want to speak any
she's
bad words about
her. She's a philosopher.
Yeah. Now
she's a genius.
Alex, what were your favorite songs on this album?
Well, thank you.
That means none of them.
Open my
Woman,
phone.
With Lil Sims. Oh, obviously. And then Cleo Soul. Mm-hmm. I guess that's how you say it. Then I Love You, Hate You. That starts with the I Love You, Hate You, part one, interlude, part two.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of, though, I liked Speed a lot.
Yeah.
Speed was
Speed
so
was
good.
Very good.
So
Speed good.
If I had to give you three, those were definitely my three for okay. sure.
Okay. What about you, Rye?
So,
Rye guy.
When the first song that I heard before I even knew she was going to be dropping an album, it was Introvert. Right. And I sent it to you guys. And I was like, this fucking shit slaps. It sounds like some superhero shit.
Yeah.
That is
like
just
a beat.
That's going to just hold a place in my heart because that's like the first song you hear from the artist for the first time. And it just was the icing on the cake that it was just so good.
I like that beat too. That beat's fresh.
It sounds like you're in a fucking battlefield.
It's definitely that superhero beat.
But other than that, I also did really like Woman. That was one of the other songs that was leaked before the album dropped. Rolling Stone has like this crazy fucking beat switch. Jake, I want you to pull that up. It's just like, this was another song that was just so fucking choice. It just
I keep cool, but I'm losing patience. No cap, we hate snakes and we hate rats. You can have opinions, just don't receive the youth in your raps.
Oh yeah, this fucking song is hard, dude.
The fucking bell just.
Mommy handle business, Papa was a Rolling Stone. I'm a
this is the one I knew from Little Sims. You guys sent this a long time ago in the group. And then
bro, when
this and Venom.
When the strings come in right here.
Yeah.
I mean, just.
So simple, but
just
yet
immaculate.
So.
You know what I like the most about it is when you hear like the British London European rappers go off. It's such a hard listen. Like,
yeah,
gigs will always give you a good
but
feature.
Not.
It's like giving up 30, 30, giving up 30, music with a quick extension.
Skepta,
and then
like,
Skepta, and like
slow
your time. Fucking boy, slow guy.
Yeah,
but it's like
we haven't heard.
It's sometimes it comes off.
Thank God.
Sometimes it comes off like. Like they're chewing on her tongue.
Right.
It's like, and it's kind of how the baby thing. It's like your pronunciation of words is so fine that like it, when you start mashing it together, it's like, oh, you're starting to go over the beat. She has such a way with speaking that the accent almost goes away and it's almost just a part of the music.
Dude, I can get down with that.
It's like just an intelligent accent.
Yeah. Very intelligent.
You watched Sex Education.
Yeah.
The man, one of the main characters, Eric, the gay black Nigerian guy.
Yeah.
So he's English Nigerian, same as Little Sims. Right. And like, if you think about the way that Eric, the way he speaks,
yeah,
it's so similar.
He has a very nice dialect.
It just sounds so smooth. Like that, when you blend that London and Nigerian together, ooh, it's good, dude.
Baby. It's good. It's like warm buttermilk biscuits.
It is. It is, dude.
And a couple of other songs that I really, really like that I do want to point out. I Love You, I Hate You. Love that fucking just hook. That
dun, dun,
I love dun, you. Dun, 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 dun. And then Speed was such a great one. And the other one that I wanted to say, what was it? Just the Little Q Part 1 and 2. I thought was like kind of nice.
It was like a chef's kiss.
It was entertaining to listen to, even though when it comes to concept albums, I really don't enjoy like for instance, Incredible True Story, when they do the fucking like interlude skits and shit. I'm not about that. Like, I understand it's a concept and it's kind of good,
take away from
it's
the album.
Good that no. It adds to the album.
I
personally don't like listening to it because like I'm here just for the music. And like sometimes it gets a bit annoying when like they were talking about like Big Sean and like doing the fucking Rubik's Cube and shit. I like kind of lost a little bit of interest.
Bitches love the Rubik's Cube.
Right. But I'm like, I get why it's there and I respect it and I wouldn't want it another way. But when it came to this album, I really enjoyed it. And I was like, damn, like I enjoyed it to the point where I didn't want it. Like I didn't feel negative about that song. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that would have been a skippable on Incredible True Story with the fucking Matrix Rubik's Cube interlude shit. But this, I was like, I want to listen to this song.
Hell yeah.
I want to listen to this album all the way through. I don't want to stop. I don't want to skip a song because it just adds layers.
Yeah, dude. Those aren't, you're not supposed to save those to your playlist. You know that?
Dude, that's, you know.
What if your playlist is just all interludes? Like, you fucking psycho.
I am.
School bus skip on cozy tapes and everything.
I thought it was dope that Little Q. Little Q Part 1 was an interlude.
Right.
And it was the intro to Little Q Part 2. And I thought that was like, I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, put the talking shit, the interlude part, in a separate track. So I can save the song.
Yeah, Deontay Hitchcock did that with Deja Vu. Remember at the end of the song with Black?
Yeah.
It was
Hal TF.
Yeah.
At the very end, it's like, it's the chorus of Deja Vu. It's like,
concept albums don't get enough love.
But they're just like having a conversation in the background. Yeah. I love that. And then the next song that came out, it was on the deluxe.
Yeah.
And it was Deja Vu. Right. And it was like
a teaser.
This shit. Hit.
Yeah, I just and think it's like very smart of people to do that kind of stuff. It's very talented.
You know how many times I would have listened to Lamborghini High? How many more times I would have listened to it if I didn't have to listen to the beginning part every time?
The 3 minutes of
the
speaking.
Fucking Fronto. You know, like
I'm cozy down in the bubble down goose jacket. Yeah.
It's funny, but for the longest time, you had to listen to that in order to get to the fucking Lamborghini High. This is how we live. So I like that she did that. I would go off of what you said. I thought this album was super listenable and entertaining from the top to the bottom. It felt like a fucking Disney movie.
Yeah.
Even the interludes were entertaining and beautifully put together, like composed from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
There's no 808s on this shit. Or if there is, they're hidden behind an orchestra.
Yeah.
And Little Sims's delivery is what's like number one. I just think that the whole thing, dude, it was just like, dude, like we said for Spilligion, it was a breath of fresh air. Like this is a breath. Like this is like, oh, like Little Sims is
that
gonna
person.
Be huge, dude. Right. Like should be. If she never is, I mean that's criminal. But she's got cosigns from Kendrick Lamar and a bunch of like
old school R&B people. Was the one who like really put her out wherever she's at currently. And Lil Wayne was like, this girl's got fucking talent. And if like you don't recognize it, then you're just out of the fucking loop.
Right.
Let's actually just listen to a couple clips of a couple songs so the listeners can get a taste for it. We'll start with Introvert, which we've already played before, but just to get the intro, that style.
In case you're a new listener here at Out the Wazoo.
This is some Disney movie, dude. Little Sims is a Disney princess, bro.
Tell me you're not about to slay a fucking dragon in the battle.
Leading the troops in the battle.
On an open field.
And then it drops into just the most, almost like a Red Hot Chili Peppers. What's that one song? Fuck. It's not Californication, is it?
Around the World.
Maybe. Just listen to the way it drops.
Right here. Instantly, you just feel like you're on a fucking horse. Just.
That's what I was getting like. Leaving the battle as a victorious, heading to the next town on a horse.
Everybody, like, cavalry is just coming down the fucking hill, and everybody's pointing their fucking swords with their javelins and shit. Just
everything is muted. All the it's all these horses.
Like the beginning, muted. The beginning beat's like, oh, we're about to be fucked up, and then all of a sudden that beat hits, and it's Lil Sims on her horse with a truce behind. I'm like, oh, we're safe.
And her horse is made of her hair. Dude. Yeah, she's like tied it into a horse. I also liked I Love You, I Hate You. I think best beat on the album. My favorite song on the album. When this shit drops, dude, it just... Oh, my God.
That fucking, like, that harp or whatever
move
the hell
your shoulders, dog. Like, come on, bro. The energy of this album is peak, bro.
I love it.
All right, hit me. Hit me right here, Lil Sims.
Fucking bass, just
smooth jazz.
Well, the drum kick alone is sexy, but like the bass,
I don't even know if I've heard a beat like that. Like that's complex.
Shout out to her because she's such a way of just knowing when to speak on a beat. Like it's just so natural to her.
She's cool as fuck, dude.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just like even watching her Tiny Desk concert.
I want to hang out with you.
I was like, she's so dope. Like she took one of her songs and made it like very soft and acoustic. Like I'm not sure if it was Introvert or Woman, but she's just like she's sitting there. She's fucking dripped out. Every time I look up a video of her, she's dripped the fuck out in like some Nigerian London type shit.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, what are you wearing?
Some Nigerian London type shit.
And she's just sitting there like so nonchalant, and she's just softly rapping.
Yeah, dude.
And it's like,
she is a vibe.
I have a boner.
Let me rate it first.
Oh, yeah. I want to play two more songs real quick. Speed, just to get a hint.
Alex is going to rate it.
Because this shit's funky as fuck, dog. Alex is going to blow her back out, I think.
So, well, this was like a 3.5.
I like the end of this song when she's like fucking around the piano. Objectively, not great, but just in the context, very fun. I just like that she's in the studio with like violinists. Last one, Protect My Energy. I wanted to play that. I like that song a lot.
A little funky 1970s space funk right here.
This sounded like something off of Kendrick's album. So yeah, dude, I fucked with it heavy.
Yeah,
heavy.
Me too.
Alex.
Am I a 100-pound brick?
Rate it, dude.
So I think Little Sims is fucking trash. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, I don't know.
My back is out the door.
So I was not expecting this at all. When you hit me with Little Sims, I was like, oh my God, what the fuck are we doing here?
Another
like,
little?
I went on Ryan's tangent. I was like, Little Sims? Dude, right, what the fuck are we doing here?
I'm notorious for giving trash music. I'll say that.
So I was like,
I don't blame you.
I was like, damn, this girl is smart. She's very elegant. And I love the fact, and you can chalk this up to a lot of people in the same category, that people like her are so great at making a concept album work. And it's always the people who don't get the appreciation they deserve. Like, I don't really think, you know, our friend group would definitely disagree, but Incredible True Story is a great concept album.
It is.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the appreciation it deserves. Now, would you go and say Deontay Hitchcock's last album was a concept album? In a sense?
Nah.
Not really.
I don't think it's a concept album, but he definitely has a theme going. Like, he's rapped about having good, better, best.
Yeah.
Like, his next album, I'm assuming, is going to be called Best.
Definitely, maybe not a concept album, but still has a theme to it, stuck to the theme. And it's always the people who are underappreciated the most. Very underappreciated artist. Good concept album. Great with from A to B to C to D. Start to finish, the flow is unmatched. Like I said, she's very smart. She's very elegant. She's great lyrics, knows what to say, when to say it, has a great cadence to her, always knows how to come in on to the beat on time. So the lyrics to me is a 9. The production, top tier production with the fucking battle horns, the violin, the harp strike every time. And then when you go into the song, what was it called again? We just played it. Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
Just the ability to switch it up and not give you that beautiful battle scene music. It just give you some straight up fucking like head banging.
Yeah, dude.
Fist in the air. Like, oh, if I had my bass on right now.
Fist twisting, dude.
You know my windows be blown out. Samurai
sword pulling.
Yeah. So the production was unparalleled. Some of the best I've heard since we've been reviewing and taking it serious. So I'm going to give the production a 10. So I'm going to give the album an overall 9.5. Very good start to Little Sims. Now
it's her fourth album. I want to listen to the old shit.
For me, it's a start. That's the first time I ever listened to her. So I'm going to go back and listen to your shit. And if it's garbage,
I'm going to listen to Kodak Black.
Yeah, I'm going back to Kodak Black. So
her first album is called Back on My Baby Jesus Shit.
Part one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very great. Very great.
Jake, do you want to go up next?
Or? It's tens for me, dog. It's a 10. It's a perfect album.
I want to say it's a 10 overall for me, too. I think it's just, this gave me everything that I did want that I didn't know I wanted. Like, I didn't think it was possible to have really well thought out beats, really well thought out lyrics, and just the way she moves her voice as its own instrument. The concept, maybe it's not a concept album, but there are concepts in this that make it a theme, a strong theme. The fact that she just, like, we always talk about it. Anybody has energy. And she just has immaculate energy, and she just comes off as like very authentic, very natural, and just like she's not trying to impress. It's just this is what she wants to talk about, and she knows how to put it through music.
Yeah.
And she makes you feel a type of way. Music is always pushing me and my feelings and emotions in a way that I'm like, wow, like this is really good, or wow, this is really fucking trash. But the music does that. I think she does an incredible job, and definitely changes my view on the UK music, you know? Because
she's got a collab coming out with Slow Tie.
No, she doesn't. You can't fool me.
She might.
But if she does, I'll stop listening to her. That's how much I don't like her.
Yeah, she had a 10 out of 10 album, but then she started rapping with Slow Tie and it was fucked up.
Right. Slow Sims. I'm waiting for Slow Sims.
Little Tie.
It's episode 132 of Out the Wazoo. Thanks for listening to the episode. Make sure you hit us up on Instagram.com/Wazoo Podcast. Go to anchor.fm/Wazoo Podcast. Support the show. Leave us a voice message. We'll listen to it on an episode. Let us know what you want to hear next. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Do you want to strangle us? Did we blow your back out? Did we step off the stool with this one? You know?
Quick announcement. If you're tired of this podcast and want to listen to new podcasts, the Third Guy podcast is dropping now. It's just me. Wait. And it's called The Third Guy.
How?
What? Oh, my. Did he just plug his own podcast?
Did you just plug on our podcast?
I'm just kidding.
Unbelievable.
We need to get a new Third Guy.
It's episode 132.
See y'all next week.
Hey, yeah.